7:09. I'm Susie Jones, back after a little break here with Charlie Weiss. Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Good, Susie. How was your vacation away?
It was wonderful. And as I mentioned, I feel like I want to share this because I'm proud of myself. Yesterday afternoon in Stillwater at my friend Nancy's sister Margie's house, I water skied. They were water skiing, and I said, I'm going to give it a try.
You can do anything, Susie. What's next on the list?
I don't know, right?
You know, one ski, no skis, wakeboarding.
Oh, that wakeboarding. Yeah. That looks tricky. Yeah. I think I'll stick to two skis.
All right.
But proud of myself, 61, getting up there, making it happen. And we're glad to have you with us today. Hopefully you're feeling well today. You know, at this age, you start to feel those creaks and all that, and you feel like you're getting a little old. But then you do something like water skiing, and you feel young. This morning, we are going to talk about lung cancer. I know it is near and dear to my heart as it was, I'm getting ready for a scan. I get scans every 6 months because I had lung cancer 2 years ago, and it was removed at Mayo Clinic. And I was very lucky in that I was able to find the cancer thanks to my mom and a car accident at a very young age. Not a young age, I should say, at an early stage, and knowing that earlier detection and improved treatments will save lives. We're going to talk this morning about an organization called A Breath of Hope, and they have a program where they want to raise money to increase lung cancer research for improved lung cancer treatment. And just awareness, because there's a lot of misinformation out there about lung cancer. A lot of people think if it's late stage, you're done. But there is a lot of work that's being done out there to increase longevity with people that have lung cancer. So we want to invite to the program this morning Greg. We'll start with Greg. Greg is a lung cancer survivor. And Greg, tell us a little bit about your story, first of all.
So, Susie, it's Gary. Sorry about that.
That's okay. My bad.
That's okay. So my story goes back to 2010 in October. And for me, it started with a cough. And at the time, I didn't think much of it because everybody at that time of year is coughing. And then I started losing weight and I started suffering from fatigue. And I always prided myself on taking good care of myself. So I thought, you know, this is probably just a cold and what have you. But then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I ended up getting misdiagnosed 3 times because the doctors never expected lung cancer with me. I just did not fit the stigmatized profile at the time. And then at the third appointment, I finally demanded a chest X-ray, and that showed an abnormality. And that, again, came back, and they thought it was pneumonia. Again, another misdiagnosis. And then, of course, the antibiotic didn't work, so they took a deeper look, and they figured out that I had lung cancer. I ended up getting diagnosed with stage 3B adenocarcinoma, and I was given a prognosis of 1 to 2 years, and that was back in 2010.
And then what happened?
So they said, you know, they said the cancer was very aggressive and we're going to go after it. We're going to give it one shot. Really, we have a treatment plan. They called it the kitchen sink plan. And that consisted of lung removal, the diseased lung, 3 months of chemo, 7 weeks of radiation, all consecutively. And that spanned from April 7th through Halloween of that year. And after that, there was, you know, now you hear of second-line treatments, third-line treatments, and what have you. There was no second- or third-line treatments for us because I did not qualify for any of the biomarker treatments at the time. So they did all of that. They took the lung out. They did 3 months of chemo. They did 7 weeks of radiation. There wasn't much left of me after all that. And I had 5 years of clean scans, and I had a very shocked and surprised medical team that there was no cancer ever seen again. And here I am 13 years out. It took me about 2 years to recover from it in the gym 5 days a week. And here I am 13 and a half years later and still alive and still cancer-free.
Unbelievable. That's an awesome story. I can't.
I mean,
that's amazing.
Susie, it's a miracle. It's miraculous.
Yeah.
Even if you talk, to my oncologist, Dr. Joseph Leach, he'll say it's miraculous. In fact, I saw him. He was giving a talk of, you know, this a few months back, and he said, you know, Gary, I'm gonna open up your file someday and see if I can make sense of it.
Because everything said you wouldn't have made it, and here you are.
That's exactly right. So I'm very, very blessed to be here.
That's awesome. And just to let you know, Gary, we do have Dr. Maurice Patel on our newsline as well with the University of Minnesota MHealth Fairview to just talk about your story and the whole notion of different stages of lung cancer and what the prognosis is, what the likelihood of, you know, your situation happening again. So, Dr. Patel, thank you for coming on with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you hear Gary's story and what goes through your mind? I know you probably know of it because we're talking about A Breath of Hope, but is that a rarity? Is that, you know, kind of talk about that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, I've certainly heard Gary's story before. Hi, Gary. I mean, it is amazing, especially, you know, when he was diagnosed, we would often think about it as, in a way of like, well, maybe we could get to a place where it could be cured, but certainly not what we would expect. And we would have a lot of discussion about that. Like, you know, this is pretty advanced. There's a chance, but, you know, we're probably not going to be able to cure this. And that's exactly what he was told. And I, you know, appropriately so. I think today we have a little bit of a different outlook. You know, things have gotten better. And so we are seeing a lot more patients that are being able to be cured. But, you know, certainly when Gary was diagnosed, I think, you know, the fact that he's still here today with, you know, kind of yesteryear technology, I think is pretty amazing.
So at this moment, we're going to take a quick break. It is 16 minutes past 7 o'clock. Again, you're listening to our Health Hour. I'm Susie Jones. The phone number to call is 651-461-9226. That is 651-461-9226. You can call that number or you can text. And if you have a question, maybe someone you love is going through this, maybe you are going through it yourself, this is an opportunity for you to jump in here and ask your question. We'll be back right after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we are back. It is 7:20. On News Talk 830 WCCO. Talking about lung cancer, of course, this is near and dear to my heart as I myself went through a lung cancer diagnosis about 2 years ago. Continue to get CT scans every 6 months, and hopefully at one point, just like our guest, Gary Browser, that his is gone and hopefully mine is gone, but I'm not quite at the 5-year mark, Gary. So thanks for being with us. We also have on our newsline Dr. Maurice Patel with University of Minnesota MHealth Fairview. And we were talking not only about what's happening in the world of research and cancer, but the likelihood of, you know, survival. And we invite your calls and your texts at 651-461-9226. A texter writes this morning, Dr. Patel, what percentage of people get lung cancer that have never smoked or been in a smoking environment with no family history? Is that quite rare, or talk about that?
Yeah, so unfortunately, it isn't all that rare anymore. We're increasingly realizing that people, you know, with a pair of lungs really are at risk for developing lung cancer.
Mm.
And about 20% of lung cancers occur in patients who've never smoked before. And that is, that's really surprising and shocking to many people because for so long, lung cancer has been all about cigarette smoking and, you know, stop smoking and you won't get cancer. Well, unfortunately, we're seeing that's not so much the case. And if you take all of the patients with lung cancer in patients who've never smoked is the seventh leading cause of cancer-related death worldwide.
And so that's a lot.
More common than leukemia, more common than many other things we know and hear about.
And yet, and I wanted to ask Gary, there's so much stigma. I know I have been a part of A Breath of Hope with different functions, and you do, when you get lung cancer, that diagnosis, people right away say, oh, did you smoke? Like somehow you're this awful person who smoked, and so therefore you deserve to have lung cancer. Did you smoke, Gary? Do you mind saying?
I never smoked, and Susie, I cannot tell you how many times I was asked that. And I work for a Breath of Hope Lung Foundation now, and I support the patients, our patients, and you know, I encounter people that have smoked and they have lung cancer, and they feel so bad that they smoked and they're ashamed of themselves, and there's no shame in any of this. There just isn't. And we had A Breath of Hope. We don't care if anybody if you smoked or not. We treat everybody the same. But yeah, the stigma, we're making progress on the stigma, that's for sure, through awareness. We go out and do community education, and we present these statistics, as Manish just mentioned, the 20%. And people are stunned, but we're educating them at the same time, and letting them know that this is not a smokers-only disease anymore.
Yeah, and Dr. Patel, what are some, I mean, just kind of go through some of the, we talk about smoking, but there are other reasons that people get lung cancer, other environmental, or kind of talk about the other factors in play when people get lung cancer.
Yeah, so certainly, particularly relevant to Minnesota, radon is a big risk factor for developing lung cancer, and it's really common gas that's in the ground, and it is often found in people's homes, particularly more recently finished basements, because they have the vapor barriers that prevent the radon from leaking back out, and so you can get really high levels of radon in the house, and that's been a well known associated risk factor for lung cancer. But beyond that, I think we're beginning to appreciate that just environmental pollution is probably also a risk factor that's accounting for a lot of the risk in patients who never smoked.
And I want to jump in and ask, so, we hear about the wildfires in Canada and the smoke in the air. Is that all carcinogenic as well? Or, kind of talk about that part.
Yeah, I think there's no question that inhaling, large amounts of particulate hydrocarbons, like that's from burning of anything, has carcinogens in it. I think it really comes to a level of exposure is probably key. And I think this is something that we don't really appreciate very well, is the individual differences in how people metabolize those things. So, in other words, if you have a particular ability to metabolize them, maybe the risk is lower. But we don't really quite understand, how to pick out those people who are really at high risk and those who aren't.
Is that some of the work that you're doing in study as well, I would imagine, research to kind of look at genetically who's predisposed to a lung cancer?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a whole program at the University of Minnesota right now looking at, for a long time has been studying the biology of lung cancer, smoking-related lung cancer, and in recent years have shifted some of their attention into sort of studying people who never smoked and how does their makeup, their genetics impact how they, how they become at risk for lung cancer.
651-461-9226. That is our talk and text line. A texter writes, my grandmother died of lung cancer, and she was a fry cook for many years back in the 60s. That's an interesting element to be near. Fry cook, you know what I mean? I wonder if that gets in your lungs as well, probably, right?
Absolutely. There's a pretty large study out of China studying women who, so in some parts of rural China, the kitchens are sort of separate from the house, and the women will go in and cook in the kitchen, but they don't have very good ventilation. And in those women who are cooking in those environments, the lung cancer rate is extremely high. And so that's really sort of gets to the point where, you know, if you're cooking, you know, like a fry cook, you know, having adequate ventilation is super important. And even if you're at home just cooking in the kitchen, you know, you got something smoking on the pan, turn on that fan, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right. We have a texter. I am, hello, my name is Steven from Coon Rapids. I'm 73 years old, never smoked. I've had a cough for about 6 years. It comes and goes. I went to a clinic in Maple Grove 2 years ago, had a camera drop down my throat two different times showing no cancer. What would you suggest when you sort of run out of options? Is there another test to ask for to be a little more investigative in looking for maybe the source of that cough? And what other things could it be besides cancer if someone has a persistent cough?
Well, certainly, you know, I think we would, I mean, I would advocate at probably, you know, if something, if you have a cough that's not going away, at least try to get a CT scan of the chest. And if that's negative, that's going to be pretty reassuring that there isn't cancer going on. Some of the other causes that could cause from that, I mean, a lot of times we think about like gastric reflux disease as irritating the throat, and that's really super common. That can sometimes cause that. And so a simple fix like an antacid can kind of help with that.
Yeah, because I was going to say, going back to Gary's story, and Gary's on our line as well, for that doctor, you know, his experience with thinking it was, you know, pneumonia and bronchitis and all these other things and not thinking about lung cancer as an option, is that something people run up against?
Yeah, and, you know, I think we've heard, you know, with the Breath of Hope over, you know, I've been working with the Breath of Hope for the last 10 years, and we hear so many stories like that where, you know, a patient has had problems, coughing, shortness of breath, whatever it might be, and they were like, well, you didn't smoke, you're too young to have lung cancer, we're not even thinking about that. And then, you know, eventually after things don't get better and patient's getting sicker, then somebody decides to do a scan and they're like, lo and behold, here it is.
And why wouldn't
they do a scan first? Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I think one, most people don't think about it as a possibility. Mm-hmm. Neither patients or physicians in many ways, you know, they think about common things happening more commonly. I think there are you know, I feel like if you do, you know, the first thing would be a chest x-ray probably, but then, you know, chest x-ray is not going to pick up lung cancer. So, you know, I think you have to really kind of think about it. And then a patient, and we talk about this with our colleagues as well, you know, in a patient where you're doing like the normal things, but it's not working, mm-hmm. you know, don't just let it go and call, you know, so you just got to like, you know, at that point, it's pretty easy to do a scan. But I think at A Breath of Hope, we've been kind of talking about this a lot, that, you know, we know that, you know, lung cancer screening, you know, can save lives for patients who smoke. It's a fairly innocuous test. There are problems with it, but it's fairly easy, fairly cheap. You know, we know that it works to detect lung cancer early, which is going to lead, you know, would lead to increased cure rates.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break right now. It is 7:31 on a Sunday morning. I'm Susie Jones. Remember, if you're listening right now and you have a question for either Gary or Dr. Patel, you can call 651-461-9226. You can also text on that line as well if you'd rather that. 7:31 on WCCO. We'll check the forecast after this. A lot of questions. I love that. I love people listening on a Sunday as they get up and get ready for church or whatever they're doing today. 651-461-9226. That is our Styles Financial talk and text line. A quick question from a listener today. Gary had been misdiagnosed several times. Would he have been able to get a screen for lung cancer? Can you talk about that? Dr. Patel.
Go ahead, Gary.
Well, yeah,
go ahead.
Your story. Talk about. Okay, go ahead, Gary.
The criterion today to get a free screening covered by insurance is you have to be over 50. You have to either be smoking or quit smoking recently, and you have to have a 20-pack year history smoking.
Oh.
Now, what I did do is I went in and I demanded, and this is a really important point, is to be your own advocate for your health.
Yes.
If you're not getting the answers that you are looking for, because you know your body better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not getting the answers that you want, then you either you demand what you're not getting or you go see somebody else. That's my best advice.
And do you want to add anything, Dr. Patel?
Yeah, no, Gary's spot on. I mean, you know, I think right now the rules for screening are make it actually fairly difficult, even for people who are eligible to be screened, because you have to get really detailed information. And in a short clinic visit, it's sometimes hard to get all of that information. But, you know, I think it's difficult. And, you know, I would say also, you know, going along with what Gary said, you know, it's important to be your own advocate, because if you're listening today and you hear about this, you know, a couple of people talking about lung cancer and never smokers, you're like, well, you know, you can have this conversation with your physician, like, I'm having these symptoms, what we're doing isn't working. I've heard about this, that we could, you know, that you can get lung cancer if you never smoked, or even if you had a light smoking history. Get a CT scan. It's fairly easy to do, and if it's negative, it's very reassuring.
A texter writes, can you get the scan if you're a current smoker? Do they do that? Probably not.
Again, the criteria are, you know, if you're a current smoker, you could be, but if you haven't smoked for long enough you know, heavy enough, then sometimes you're not a candidate. So, you know, I think as I said, the way the rules are now, makes it a little bit difficult.
Okay. Let's take a call. We've got a couple of people on the phone. Dave, we'll start with you first. David, you're on the air with Dr. Patel and Gary. If you have a question for either, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Say, I have a question more along the lines of heredity and lung cancer. My father died of lung cancer when he was 23 years old.
Oh, boy.
And I'm 70. I've never smoked, but I'm wondering if that would make me kind of eligible for any more screening just because of the family history.
Dr. Patel, maybe?
Yes, there are some families where there is sort of a proclivity to have lung cancer, so it happens more frequently in people who have a family history, but there isn't a defined genetic syndrome. There are a few families that can have that. It doesn't make you eligible for screening as under the current for it to be paid by insurance. But I think, you know, Gary and I both have heard stories about this where, family has had a lung cancer, and, you know, even though there's no symptoms, they've sort of, you know, advocated for themselves to get a CT scan, and lo and behold, there it is. So it can happen. I would say in your case, probably the risk is fairly low, because if you only had one other family member with lung cancer, it's not zero.
Okay, good. All right, Monica is up next on our newsline, on our Stiles Financial Talk and text line. Go ahead, Monica. You're on with Dr. Patel and Gary.
Hey, good morning. I had a question. Well, first of all, I had a comment to make about the gentleman who had a concern about coughing for the last 6 years. And my comment on that is that my husband had a persistent cough, and found out that it was from a medication that he was taking.
Mm.
So just something he had just started taking a few months back had caused the cough.
Okay.
So perhaps there's something this guy is taking or whatever that could be the cause of it.
Okay, and you had a question too, maybe? Then, yeah?
Oh, not on that. It's just a comment.
Okay.
Then my question is, I had lung cancer not quite a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And and it was amazing how they discovered it, because they had been watching a spot on my right lung, and every year they were taking a scan of it. And then they decided they didn't need to take a scan anymore, except for every 2 years. And I didn't realize that that decision was made, so I called to see when I was going to come in. And so they arranged for me to come in anyway, and it ended up I had a spot on my left lung, which was lung cancer. So it was by the grace of God that it was discovered. And they ended up doing an upper, they removed the upper left lobe of my lung. And what they said when I went to Mayo Clinic, and this is my question,
okay.
So it was edema carcinoma, and they said this was not smoking. Now, I used to be a smoker, but 20 years ago.
Okay.
And they said it's typically found in Asian women, and not all Asian.
I'm wondering
what kind of thing is this that they're telling me.
Okay, and I'm going to put you on hold because your phone's breaking up a little bit. I don't know. Is there any, is that been studied, the ethnicity of someone and whether or not?
Yeah, so
yeah, go ahead.
I suspect that probably that there's an EGFR mutation. Did they say that?
I think so. That's what she said.
Yeah. So that is a mutation that was discovered largely because they noticed there was a certain subgroup of young Asian women that were having developing lung cancer. And they could respond really well to this drug targeting EGFR. And they found out that, you know, probably about 15% of people with lung cancer have this mutation that responds really well. And it's usually not associated with smoking. So it's much more common to have this EGFR mutation in patients who never smoked. So that's probably why they're explaining it that way.
I understand. And just in, I think, I don't know if you know this, Dr. Patel or Gary, but I had my right lung lobe taken out as well at Mayo Clinic because I had stage one primary localized lung cancer 2 years ago. So it is nothing to mess with. And being your own advocate is certainly, you really have to ask for what you need in those cases. Let's take our final break. It is 7:45, and we have a couple more questions. And if you want to jump in, we still have time for a phone call on our Stiles Financial talk and text line, 651-461-9226. We're back after this. And we are back. It is 7:49. We have about 8 minutes left together talking about lung cancer, and we've got a lot of calls and a lot of texts, and we want to get to as many as we can on our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. This texter writes, I don't smoke tobacco products, Dr. Patel. However, I've been smoking two or three hits of marijuana for 20 years. Am I a candidate for lung cancer? Thank you, Jim. Thanks for being forthcoming, Jim.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we know that marijuana smoke contains at least as many carcinogens in the smoke that you inhale compared to cigarette smoking. It doesn't contain nicotine, so there's one less kind of lung cancer risk factor there. But we know smoking the marijuana has all these carcinogens. We haven't done a lot of study in chronic marijuana smokers to know their lung cancer risk. But to me, I would say, and I tell this to patients also, that, you know, if you're going to use marijuana, you know, 100,000 times more preferable to use like an edible than to smoke it.
We were just talking about that, and the people have different preferences when it comes to using marijuana and smoking. A lot of people enjoy that, but as you say, with edibles out there now, that might be easier on your lungs. Another texter writes in for the doctor, have you seen many patients with lung cancer from Agent Orange exposure?
That's a great question. You know, it is service-connected in the VA. I don't know that there's been really convincing evidence that Agent Orange is a lung cancer risk factor, independent from other cancers. We know it's a carcinogen, And at least according to the VA, it is it's listed as one of the it's service connected if you've had exposure to Agent Orange. But I don't think we know a lot of detail about it.
Okay. Another texter writes, I have a spot on my lung after having pneumonia. And had been followed for 4 years to determine if it could turn cancerous. Is there a need to have that checked periodically if it doesn't show? Would like an X-ray be sufficient, or would you need to see a CT scan?
So probably if it hasn't changed in 4 years, statistically it's not likely to be lung cancer. So we expect lung cancers to grow, and generally they'll grow, you know, over 1 or 2 or 3 years, and we'll see that happen. If something is stable for more than 4 years, we don't expect it to be cancer. And oftentimes that could be scarring from previous infection or something like that.
Okay. All right. We have a couple minutes left, but I want to have Gary jump back in and Dr. Patel. Gary, we also want to talk about some of the part of the mission of A Breath of Hope is to increase awareness and a lot of questions. I love that. I love people listening on a Sunday as they get up and get ready for church or whatever they're doing today. 651-461-9226. That is our Styles Financial talk and text line. A quick question from a listener today. Gary had been misdiagnosed several times. Would he have been able to get a screen for lung cancer? Can you talk about that? Dr. Patel.
Go ahead, Gary.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Your story. Talk about. Okay, go ahead, Gary.
The criterion today to get a free screening covered by insurance is you have to be over 50. You have to either be smoking or quit smoking recently, and you have to have a 20-pack year history smoking.
Oh.
What I did do is I went in and I demanded. And this is a really important point, is to be your own advocate for your health.
Yes.
If you're not getting the answers that you are looking for, because you know your body better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not getting the answers that you want, then you either you demand what you're not getting or you go see somebody else. That's my best advice.
And do you want to add anything, Dr. Patel?
Gary's spot on. I mean, I think right now the rules for screening are make it actually fairly difficult, even for people who are eligible to be screened, because you have to get really detailed information. And in a short clinic visit, it's sometimes hard to get all of that information. But, I think it's difficult. And, I would say also, going along with what Gary said, it's important to be your own advocate, because if you're listening today and you hear about this, a couple of people talking about lung cancer and never smokers, you're like, well, you can have this conversation with your physician. Like, I'm having the symptoms. What we're doing isn't working. I've heard about this, that we could, that you can get lung cancer if you never smoked, or even if you had a light smoking history, get a CT scan. It's fairly easy to do. And if it's negative, it's very reassuring.
A texter writes, can you get the scan if you're a current smoker? Do they do that? Probably not.
Again, the criteria are, if you're a current smoker, you could be. But if you haven't smoked for long enough or heavy enough, then sometimes you're not a candidate. So, I think as I said, the way the rules are now, makes it a little bit difficult.
Okay. Let's take a call. We've got a couple of people on the phone. Dave, we'll start with you first. David, you're on the air with Dr. Patel and Gary. If you have a question for either, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Say, I have a question more along the lines of heredity and lung cancer. My father died of lung cancer when he was 23 years old.
Oh, boy.
And I'm 70. I've never smoked, but I'm wondering if that would make me kind of eligible for any more screening just because of the family history.
Dr. Patel, maybe?
There are some families where there is sort of a proclivity to have lung cancer, so it happens more frequently in people who have a family history, but there isn't a defined genetic syndrome. There are a few families that can have that. It doesn't make you eligible for screening as under the current sort of, you know, for it to be paid by insurance. But I think, you know, Gary and I both have heard stories about this where, you know, family has had a lung cancer, and, you know, even though there's no symptoms, they've sort of, you know, advocated for themselves to get a CT scan, and lo and behold, there it is. So it can happen. I would say in your case, probably the risk is fairly low, because if you only had one other family member with lung cancer, but you know, it's not zero.
Okay, good. All right, Monica is up next on our news line, on our Stiles Financial Talk and Text line. Go ahead, Monica. You're on with Dr. Patel and Gary.
Hey, good morning. I had a question. Well, first of all, I had a comment to make about the gentleman who had a concern about coughing for the last 6 years. And my comment on that is that my husband had a persistent cough, and out that it was from a medication that he was taking. Mm. So just something he had just started taking a few months back had caused the cough.
Okay.
So perhaps there's something this guy is taking or whatever that could be the cause of it.
Okay, and you had a question too, maybe?
Then,
yeah?
Oh, not on that. It's just a comment.
Okay.
Then my question is, I had lung cancer not quite a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And yeah. And it was amazing how they discovered it, because they had been watching a spot on my right lung, and every year they were taking a scan of it, and then they decided they didn't need to take a scan anymore except for every 2 years. And I didn't realize that decision was made, so I called to see when I was going to come in. And so they arranged for me to come in anyway, and it ended up I had a spot on my left lung, which was lung cancer.
Oh.
So it was by the grace of God that it was discovered. And they ended up doing an upper, they removed the upper left lobe of my lung. And what they said when I went to Mayo Clinic, and this is my question,
okay.
So it was edema carcinoma, and they said this was not smoking. Now, I used to be a smoker, but 20 years ago.
Okay.
And they said it's typically found in Asian women, and not all Asian.
Well,
I'm wondering what kind of thing is this that they're telling me.
Okay, and I'm going to put you on hold because your phone's breaking up a little bit. I don't know. Is there any... Is that been studied, the ethnicity of someone and whether or not...
Yeah, so
yeah, go ahead.
I suspect that probably that there's an EGFR mutation. Did they say that?
I think so. That's what she said.
Yeah. So that is a mutation that was discovered largely because they noticed there was a certain subgroup of young Asian women that were developing lung cancer. And they could respond really well to this drug targeting EGFR. And they found out that, you know, probably about 15% of people with lung cancer have this mutation.
Okay.
That responds really well. And it's usually not associated with smoking.
Oh.
So it's much more common to have this EGFR mutation in patients who never smoked.
Interesting.
So that's probably why they're explaining it that way.
I understand. And just in, I think, I don't know if you know this, Dr. Patel or Gary, but I had my right lung lobe taken out as well at Mayo Clinic because I had stage one primary localized lung cancer 2 years ago. So it is nothing to mess with, and being your own advocate is certainly, you really have to ask for what you need in those cases. Let's take our final break. It is 7:45, and we have a couple more questions. And if you want to jump in, we still have time for a phone call on our Stiles Financial Talk and Text line, 651-461-9226. We're back after this. And we are back. It is 7:49. We have about 8 minutes left together talking about lung cancer, and we've got a lot of calls and a lot of texts, and we want to get to as many as we can on our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. This texter writes, I don't smoke tobacco products, Dr. Patel. However, I've been smoking 2 or 3 hits of marijuana for 20 years. Am I a candidate for lung cancer? Thank you, Jim. Thanks for being forthcoming, Jim.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we know that marijuana smoke contains at least as many carcinogens in the smoke that you inhale compared to cigarette smoking. It doesn't contain nicotine, so there's one less kind of lung cancer risk factor there. But we know smoking the marijuana has all these carcinogens. We haven't done a lot of study in chronic marijuana smokers to know their lung cancer risk. But to me, I would say, and I tell this to patients also, that, you know, if you're going to use marijuana, you know, 100,000 times more preferable to use like an edible than to smoke it.
We were just talking about that, and the people have different preferences when it comes to using marijuana and smoking. A lot of people enjoy that, but as you say, with edibles out there now, that might be easier on your lungs. Another texter writes in for the doctor, have you seen many patients with lung cancer from Agent Orange exposure?
That's a great question. You know, it is service-connected in the VA. I don't know that there's been really convincing evidence that Agent Orange is a lung cancer risk factor, you know, independent from other cancers. We know it's a carcinogen, and at least according to the VA, it is it's listed as one of the it's service connected if you've had exposure to Agent Orange, but I don't think we know a lot of detail about it.
Okay. Another texter writes, I have a spot on my lung after having pneumonia. And it had been followed for 4 years to determine if it could turn cancerous. Is there a need to have that checked periodically if it doesn't show? Would like an X-ray be sufficient, or would you need to see a CT scan?
So probably if it hasn't changed in 4 years, statistically it's not likely to be lung cancer. So we expect lung cancers to grow, and generally they'll grow, you know, over 1 or 2 or 3 years, and we'll see that happen. If something is stable for more than 4 years, we don't expect it to be cancer. And oftentimes that could be scarring from previous infection or something like that.
Okay. All right. We have a couple minutes left, but I want to have Gary jump back in and Dr. Patel. Gary, we also want to talk about some of the part of the mission of A Breath of Hope is to increase awareness and reduce stigma and raise money to support programs. Talk briefly, Gary, about some of the programs that A Breath of Hope offers in terms of patients and survivors and caregivers. And then let's talk a little bit about the walk that's coming up this next Saturday.
Yeah, so in terms of patient services, we offer supplemental transportation for patients that cannot get to an appointment. And Dr. Patel knows how important it is for patients to get to their appointments on schedule, on time. They have the best outcomes if they can do that. So we offer that free of charge via a volunteer network. We offer companionship. So if a patient wants to talk to another patient that's been through it before, I've done a fair amount of this work myself, and just to get some advice and some hope, we have that service. We have a support group for patients and survivors and caregivers that meets virtually and monthly, and that's a great group of people. So if anybody's interested in that, they can contact us. We're really excited about our survivorship program that we're just starting. As Dr. Patel alluded to earlier, we are making progress with this disease. People are living longer and they're living better. So now we're talking about survivorship. And so we've rolled out a mindfulness program, survivorship program, and that's also free of charge. And we're working on physical activity and nutrition are coming next. And then we have our animated guide to lung cancer that is really a state-of-the-art one-stop shop for lung cancer education.
That's
and
great.
Then for the long run walk, we're very excited about it. You can find, you know, more details about it at breathofhope.org/events. But it's our 18th annual. The first one was in 2007. It's this coming Saturday, mm-hmm. August 10th, mm-hmm. at Lake Harriet. And at this event, we'll have a village with vendor and partner tents. We have a 5K, 10K chip-timed run. We have a 5K walk. We have a kids' fun run. We have live music. Mm-hmm. We have other kids' activities. We have speakers in the program, mm-hmm. and I know, Susie, you're going to be there.
Yeah, and Tom Hauser.
Tom Hauser will be there, and Bobby
yeah.
Jensen.
It'll be fun.
And it all starts at 7:30 at Lake Harriet. And I heard you talk about the weather, and you said 76.
How perfect.
And clear skies Saturday. So be there.
All right, we will. We'll go to Lake Harriet next Saturday morning at 7:30. I'm going to be there, I promise. Dr. Patel, we have about 30 seconds left, even a little less. Any final thoughts? Like, what do you want to say in the 30 seconds?
Well, I'd say we're making progress. We're doing a lot of work at A Breath of Hope to try to affect change. And with my last 10 seconds, I'd say come out on Saturday. It's always a great time. It's my 10th time doing the Breath of Hope Long Run Walk, and it's always a good time to spend time with the community.
Awesome. Thank you both. And thanks, everyone, for listening this hour and for talking and texting. It is 7:55 on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we are back. It is 7:49. We have about 8 minutes left together talking about lung cancer, and we've got a lot of calls and a lot of texts, and we want to get to as many as we can on our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. This texter writes, I don't smoke tobacco products, Dr. Patel. However, I've been smoking 2 or 3 hits of marijuana for 20 years. Am I a candidate for lung cancer? Thank you, Jim. Thanks for being forthcoming, Jim.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we know that marijuana smoke contains at least as many carcinogens in the smoke that you inhale compared to cigarette smoking. It doesn't contain nicotine, so there's one less kind of lung cancer risk factor there. But we know smoking the marijuana has all these carcinogens. We haven't done a lot of study in chronic marijuana smokers to know their lung cancer risk. But to me, I would say, and I tell this to patients also, that, you know, if you're going to use marijuana, you know, 100,000 times more preferable to use like an edible than to smoke it.
We were just talking about that, and the people have different preferences when it comes to using marijuana and smoking. A lot of people enjoy that, but as you say, with edibles out there now, that might be easier on your lungs. Another texter writes in for the doctor, have you seen many patients with lung cancer from Agent Orange exposure?
That's a great question. You know, it is service-connected in the VA. I don't know that there's been really convincing evidence that Agent Orange is a lung cancer risk factor, you know, independent from other cancers. We know it's a carcinogen, and at least according to the VA, it is it's listed as one of the it's service connected if you've had exposure to Agent Orange, but I don't think we know a lot of detail about it.
Okay. Another texter writes, I have a spot on my lung after having pneumonia. And it had been followed for 4 years to determine if it could turn cancerous. Is there a need to have that checked periodically if it doesn't show? Would like an X-ray be sufficient, or would you need a CT scan?
So probably if it hasn't changed in 4 years, statistically it's not likely to be lung cancer. So we expect lung cancers to grow, and generally they'll grow, you know, over 1 or 2 or 3 years, and we'll see that happen. if something is stable for more than 4 years, we don't expect it to be cancer. And oftentimes that could be scarring from previous infection or something like that.
Okay. All right. We have a couple minutes left, but I want to have Gary jump back in and Dr. Patel. Gary, we also want to talk about some of the part of the mission of A Breath of Hope is to increase awareness and reduce stigma and raise money to support programs. Talk briefly, Gary, about some of the programs that A Breath of Hope offers in terms of patients and survivors and caregivers. And then let's talk a little bit about the walk that's coming up this next Saturday.
Yeah, so in terms of patient services, we offer supplemental transportation for patients that cannot get to an appointment. And Dr. Patel knows how important it is for patients to get to their appointments on schedule, on time. They have the best outcomes if they can do that. So we offer that free of charge via a volunteer network. We offer companionship. So if a patient wants to talk to another patient that's been through it before, I've done a fair amount of this work myself, and just to get some advice and some hope, we have that service. We have a support group for patients and survivors and caregivers that meets virtually and monthly, and that's a great group of people. So if anybody's interested in that, they can contact us. We're really excited about our survivorship program that we're just starting. As Dr. Patel alluded to earlier, we are making progress with this disease. People are living longer and they're living better. So now we're talking about survivorship. And so we've rolled out a mindfulness program, survivorship program, and that's also free of charge. And we're working on physical activity and nutrition are coming next. And then we have our animated guide to lung cancer that is really a state-of-the-art one-stop shop for lung cancer education.
That's
and
great.
Then for the long run walk, we're very excited about it. You can find details about it at abreathofhope.org/events. But it's our 18th annual. The first one was in 2007. It's this coming Saturday, August 10th, at Lake Harriet. And at this event, we'll have a village with vendor and partner tents. We have a 5K, 10K chip-timed run. We have a 5K walk. We have a kids' fun run. We have live music. We have other kids' activities. We have speakers in the program. And I know, Susie, you're going to be there.
Yeah, and Tom Hauser.
Tom Hauser will be there, and Bobby Jensen.
It'll be fun.
And it all starts at 7:30 at Lake Harriet. And I heard you talk about the weather, and you said 76.
How perfect.
And clear skies Saturday. So be there.
All right. We will. We'll go to Lake Harriet next Saturday morning at 7:30. I'm going to be there, I promise. Dr. Patel, we have about 30 seconds left, even a little less. Any final thoughts? Like, what do you want to say in the 30 seconds?
Well, I'd say we're making progress. We're doing a lot of work at A Breath of Hope to try to affect change. And with my last 10 seconds, I'd say come out on Saturday. It's always a great time. It's my 10th time doing the Breath of Hope Long Run Walk, and it's always a good time to spend time with the community.
Awesome. Thank you both, and thanks everyone for listening this hour and for talking and texting. It is 7:55 on News Talk 830 WCCO.